Good morning, and a warm welcome to Iona Abbey. We also have a special welcoming this morning for the group members of the Iona community who are visiting with us for their community week. A special welcome to all of the community members. Thank you for being here with us. Here on Iona, we frequently use the expression, all are welcome, but I think we should add something to that. All are welcome, and we're likely to put you to work. This week, Ben and Annette Sparks have been visiting on the island, and last week we convinced Annette to join us in the music loft, and she provided music for us last week. And this week, Ben is going to preside for us at communion. In addition to being a member of the Iona community, Ben is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church, USA. We welcome Malcolm, our warden, back from holiday, and he will preach for us today. Our new musician, Laura, who you just met, has only been here 3 days, and we welcomed her by inviting the whole community to worship this morning. Our sacristans, Annico and Daniel, our reader, Margaret, and myself, Carol, are almost welcome to work here as staff members of the Iona community. So, welcome to our worship this day, but let us all be about the work of the Lord. I invite you to take the green worship book and turn to page 32 for our opening responses. That's page 32 in the green worship book. You're invited to stand. We will be using the alternative responses. Welcome to this ancient place. Welcome to this gathering place. Come with hope or hesitation. Come with joy or yearning, all who hunger, all who thirst, for life in all its fullness. Our opening morning song of praise is on page 33 in the Green Service Book. Jesus Calls Us, page 33. We remain standing for the call to prayer, which you can find on page 36. We gather in God's name.
We pray in Christ's promised presence.
My brothers and sisters, not out of dread and fear, but believing that God is faithful to forgive, let us rid ourselves of what we need to carry no longer. Please sit. Eternal God, maker of the skies above, lowly Christ, born amidst the growing earth, spirit of life, wind over the flowing waters, in earth, sea, and sky, you are there. O hidden mystery, sun behind all suns, soul behind all souls, in everything we touch, in everyone we meet, your presence is round us, and we give you thanks. But when we have not touched, but trampled you in creation, when we have not met, but missed you in one another, when we have not received, but rejected you in the poor, forgive us. And hear now our plea for mercy. Hear now the words of Jesus. For all who are truly sorry and seek to renew their lives, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Come and follow me. Lead us now, O God, to acknowledge your costly generosity by living as forgiven people, until heaven and earth rejoices, and the whole earth cries glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's reading comes from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
I invite you now to pick up the Purple Church hymnaries. We are going to sing number 609. It will be sung to an alternative tune, and if you would like to find that tune, it's at 220. We are going to be singing the words, though, from 609.
Would you sit down, please? Dress codes have always been a source of confusion for me. This will come as no surprise to those of you who know my sartorial inelegance. But those little words at the bottom of an invitation, smart casual. How is that different from casual smart? or smart smart, or casual casual. Convocation robes. Dress optional. You know, it's just, do I wear the white shirt or not? I mean, it's not, it's very confusing. And my heart goes out to this unfortunate wretch in the parable who is invited, much to his surprise, to this great wedding feast, and then gets thrown into outer darkness, which is presumably beyond Upminster, because he is not wearing the right things. The point Jesus is making, I think, is that because the invitation is unexpected and gracious, doesn't mean you need not make an effort. Because you did not expect to go, doesn't mean you can go as you are. You will still need to change your clothes before you go. It seems hard on the one misfit who felt he need not bother. But for clothes, read heart. Those who find themselves perhaps unexpectedly included may not presume on grace, but are warned of the dire consequences of accepting the invitation and doing nothing except simply showing up. Jesus points to the need for a change of heart. The response to God's grace is to change the way you are. Therefore, if the ways of the world are to change, hearts must change. It is no good decrying the excesses of capitalism or fighting for peace and justice if hearts and mindset remain the same. This is about power. And if we're talking about changing the way power is used or power is viewed, we must start with personal power. It's interesting that too often, when the revolutionaries finally achieve the position of power, they often do the same thing that had been done before. How many of us danced figuratively or literally in the streets in 1997, only to realize that whoever we voted for, the government got in? And then became the great next disappointment. Nothing happened because we were looking for a second term, and then a third term. Something got lost because the mindset had not changed. Having got what they wanted, they now have to hang on to it at all costs, and that means playing the power game. The change is meaningless, whatever the change is, if the self is not transformed as well. We will never change society if we do not change ourselves. If the self is not transformed, then there is no journey into a new way of doing things, which would inevitably mean powerlessness. And we don't like the sound of that. Unless spirituality answers the questions of power and powerlessness, there is never any true change. There is never any real advancement in human history because the so-called reformers are done in by the struggle. To fight for something usually means fighting against something and therefore someone. Being passionately for can release hate against, and that is no basis for change that will last. The challenge of the cross, the challenge that Christ poses to us, is ultimately how to stand against wrong without becoming wrong yourself. How to stand against hate without becoming hate yourself. We can hate what people do, but once we release that feeling, it is hard to get it back in the box. How can you stand against hate without letting it frame the question? Look at it at a personal level. How do we oppose the evil, the hurts, the betrayals, the abandonment, the rejections and the disappointments in our lives, the people who let us down, the people who turn against us, the people who gossip and tell lies about us? How do we stand against that in a way that we do not become a mirror image of the same thing? How do we face down the hatred and issues of our individual lives and of the world we share without becoming nothing more than a new problem? If we are in flight from our own muddle, then we shall be potentially violent when we confront the muddle of the world. So when it comes to facing the mess of the world, give me people suffering from self-doubt. Perhaps that's why I feel at home in the Iona community. We are clear that we do not have the whole truth. People who embrace self-doubt seek God's truth and the way of peace. But like Thomas Merton at the end of his life, they are responding to God by saying, "I don't know if I've ever done your will. All I know is that I want to do your will. I'm not certain I'm pleasing you. All I know is that I desire to please you." How we do anything is usually how we do everything. How we see our relationships and the people closest to us is probably how we view the world. If there is a humility and grace around our everyday lives, there is a better chance we shall exercise that humility and grace on a wider context. Extrapolate that model into the world of banking, of international politics, of housing and welfare policy. Treat others as you treat yourself. Oh, you give yourself a hard time, and you deny the broken parts of your soul. Then, inevitably, you will do the same to others. Which brings us to cleaning toilets. The kingdom of God starts here. International bankers praising God and then cleaning toilets with folk who have no income, for whom pension and healthcare is fantasy land. Ex-commanders of nuclear submarines peeling spuds with Faslane protesters, as they did only weeks ago. Here is true humility. Here is a change of heart, potentially. Here are people setting aside power and seeking new ways of being community, new ways of living the gospel, but doing so at a very basic and personal level. This, perhaps, is the beginnings of the change of heart we seek. The life God calls us to begin with a change of clothes and it is a change of heart. To stop fighting against what is and to live something new. Christ's model for the kingdom was to offer a new way of living, a radical new spirituality which changed life through changing lives. And that's why here we hope for a radical change of mindset by offering a radical hospitality and the spirituality that goes with it. It seems to me that too often we start with the issue and shape our worship and our spirituality accordingly. It's sometimes what I call Google worship, where 101 things you need to know about poverty are presented to you, and then we tell God to do something about it. We need to start with God. We need to start with what God calls us to do and to be. We begin with God, the call to a radical new form of discipleship, to lives changed and renewed, and that comes from a spirituality that engages work and worship and leaves no option, but a new response to the world. We start with God. As Richard Rohr put it, "You cannot think yourself into a new way of living, but you must live yourself into a new way of thinking." Or if you prefer, the path to peace and justice begins on our knees and leads next to cleaning toilets. Amen. We stand now to make our affirmation, which you will find in the Green Worship Book on page 38. We believe in God above us, maker and sustainer of all life, of sun and moon, of water and earth, of male and female. We believe in God beside us, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, born of woman, servant of the poor, tortured and nailed to a tree, a man of sorrows, he died forsaken. He descended into the grave, which places death. On the third day he rose from the tomb, he ascended into heaven, to be ever in your presence, and his kingdom will come on earth. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost, the fire, life-giving breath of the Church, Spirit of
You're invited to sit. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, light and dark, springtime and harvest, we rejoice in the goodness of your creation and our place within it. For the passing of seasons and the rhythms of our lives, we thank you. But we pray for all those who suffer when your created order is distorted, for those whose working week makes them well-paid slaves, and for those who do not receive daily bread. For those whose comfortable, central heated, double glazed life prevents them from seeing the world as it is. And for those who know nothing but hunger or war or unhappiness. For those who see their oil-fueled luxuries as God-given, and for those who lose their homes because of the horrors of climate chaos. Restore to them all the life intended for each of your children. Awaken within us a true knowledge of your place in our universe. May your church truly become your body here on earth. And may you be at work in our midst, reconciling the world to yourself. And hear us now as we pray, as you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A collection will now be taken for the work of the Iona community. Let us worship God in our giving.